saved. Ever. Even when I'm going through the hard trials and the tests, it seems like it's a result of me being saved. And if I wasn't saved, I wouldn't be going through this particular trial or test. I still have not regretted it. I have not had a determined desire in my heart at all to go back on the Lord. And by the grace of God, I have a greater determination now, today, than I ever have to live for the Lord. You know, I'm closer to heaven than I've ever been. You're closer to heaven than you've ever been. Why give up now? Why turn to something that is maybe a seem right way or something that may be a little bit easier? When you've gone this far, well, let us go on, be faithful and true to the Lord. That's my desire. My desire is to be faithful and true to the Lord, to what He's shown me, to what He's given me, to what He's made me to understand. I want to do what He would have me to do. I want to write today on the board. Just a few of us here today, and sometimes we feel like there is a greater level of comfort when there is a greater amount of people. But I want to show through the Word of God, if you'll stay with me, I want to show through the Word of God that there are many, many times that the Lord did miraculous things just with a few people. And He has the ability, when you are in a place of discouragement and you feel like, boy, if I could just have somebody else with me, if I could just have a few more, if everybody understood me, you know the Lord understands you, and He can take you through whatever trial that you're going through. He can take you through it if you're alone. If you've got Him, there's a majority. So let us turn to 1 Samuel, the 14th chapter, and I want to begin reading at the 6th verse. If you have it, you can read it for us. 1 Samuel 14, verse 6. Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. The Lord can save by many or by few. So this is Jonathan, and Jonathan has a desire, these uncircumcised Philistines. He put them in a whole different category than the children of Israel. He says that we can go there, and the Lord, if it be that the Lord is with us, the Lord can save by many or by few. All right, read. His armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. Now here is the principle that's laid out in the Old Testament, that's in the New Testament, that says where two can agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, these individuals that are together, and the armor bearer says, whatever's on your heart, I'm right there with you. I believe that there is no restraint on God, the armor bearer is saying. Jonathan is saying, I believe that the Lord can save by many or just the two of us. Now, if we're faithful, and if it's just the two of us that are faithful, do you know the Lord can use us in whatever capacity that He wants to use us in, and He can bring about what His purpose and His plan is in our life and in a situation if we stand true and faithful to the Lord. So here is Jonathan. The principle that the Lord is saying to us here today is sometimes we have in our mind that we think that we need a whole lot of people to be able to accomplish what God has in mind to accomplish. All God needs is somebody that is willing to stand on His word, is willing to trust Him, is willing to not doubt and not be afraid to go into the battle and fight the battle like the Lord tells him to do it. Now, it would have been a different story if Jonathan had determined in his mind that we're going to go here and we're going to see what we can do. That would have been a different story. They would have gotten routed out, wouldn't they? But what he decided, what he knew in his mind and in his heart is that we've got to depend on God. It is not us that are, it's not we that are doing it. It is God that is doing it through us. So the principle is that we must be inside the will of God. We must be following the leading of the Holy Ghost, which is what Jonathan was doing here. And he said that the Lord can save by many or by few. It doesn't matter if it's God's will in this instance to save by a lot, and we have a lot of people congregated around us and fighting the battle with us, then that's well and good. But if we're going through a battle and sometimes we go through battles alone, don't we? Sometimes it's not prudent, or it's not, the people just aren't available to carry the burden and to carry the weight as we go into the battle. So here we are facing it and saying, listen, I wish I had all the saints surrounding me, and I wish they understood, and I wish they could pray with me 24 hours a day as I'm going through this difficult period in my life. What those difficult periods in your life are, they are battles, they are trials, they are testings that the Lord is taking you through, and the Lord wants to take you through those. And so there are times that we don't have people around us. Even sometimes we're married. Those of us that are married, we don't even have those that are around us to know the depths of the battle that we're facing. We just have us and the Lord. The Lord can save us in the midst of the battle, even if it's just two of us, even if it's just one of us. Yes. I want to encourage you that way. All right, so he says, and the armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart, turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thine heart. I'm right there with you. I'm going to fight this battle with you. Isn't that wonderful when we have somebody to fight a battle with us? And we're going to go into it and realize I'm not alone. Do you realize that the saints, when you call on the saints, this is why we do it. Sometimes somebody is sick, and what do? We pick up the phone and we call around to the saints and say, somebody is in a battle. They're in a battle of affliction. And what do? We'll go right to prayer. Do you know what prayer is doing? Prayer is pushing the enemy back. And there have been many, many times as we've gone into the battle with these saints of God and we fought with them, and the Lord has actually routed the enemy and made him go away. Saints, prayer works. It's one of the greatest weapons that we have as we go into the battle. Here is Jonathan's armor bearer. What is the armor? The shield of what? Faith. Do you realize that what does it do? It quenches the fiery darts of the wicked. One of the things that the enemy is going to want to do, he's going to throw darts at you. He's going to shoot arrows at you. He's going to fight you with all kinds of doubts and fears in your mind of, oh, this thing could turn into something that's much greater than what you can handle. But let me tell you, this man went into the battle with just him and his armor bearer. Somebody bearing the armor of faith, somebody that can trust God, somebody that can believe. And what does he do? A sword in the other hand. I'm going to fight with you. I believe that God can do this. This was the armor bearer. This was a man that was, if we use the terminology in the New Testament in Ephesians, this is a man that carried the armor. This is the man that carried the shield. This is the man that knew the work of faith in God. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. Do you know one of the things that's missing in our generation is that there is a great lack of faith. Lord, help me. Now, I'm not pointing my fingers at you. I'm saying, Lord, help all of us that when he comes back, he'll find faith in us. It seems like so few people are trusting the Lord for anything. I appreciate the sister's testimony. Where did she get the encouragement from? She got the encouragement from somebody that testified that the Lord came right on time, right? And her faith was strengthened and lifted up that I can go, if he do it for them, he can do it for me. Do you know that's why we come to church? You know, I was talking to my wife yesterday and she was saying something on the order. I didn't get it all, but I've seen this trend. The trend nowadays is that you do not have to come to organize religion. You don't have to come to church you don't have to be in a church or an organized support group to exercise your religion. And so there you find that in among the people that call themselves Christians. I don't have to come to church. I don't have to come and be in a setting with other people of like minds. I can do it at home, and I'm just as well at home. But let me tell you, I don't get the same encouragement at home that I do when I come and I see somebody else that's fighting the same battles that I'm fighting. And they're testifying of what God has done and what God can do in their lives. I am encouraged. There is a reason that the Lord says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. What do? We provoke one another to love and to good works. So what do? We come in at a time and at a place like this, and I'm encouraged when I hear you sing. Maybe you don't have the most beautiful voice. I don't either. But I'm encouraged when our voices blend together and it goes up to the Lord out of a true and heart of worship, there is something, the anointing, and there's something special about that. All right? And then when I hear you give a simple testimony of, Lord, the Lord blessed you in this way, or the Lord blessed you in that way, that's encouraging to me. And it's encouraging to everyone else. So, there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or to save by few. I want us to turn to Judges now. I want us to start at the seventh chapter and the first verse. Then Zerubbabel, who was Gideon,
and
all the people that was with him rose up early,
and they
pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Morah in the valley.
And
the Lord said unto Gideon,
the people that are with thee
are too many
to give the Midianites
into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hands have saved me. Now the Lord saith this to Gideon. There was a battle, and the Midianites were, there were a lot of folks, and we'll find that out as we read on. There were a lot of people, the camels as the sand of the seashore and whatnot. And so there were a great amount of people that were coming to fight against Israel. Now we have to understand, Israel is a type of the church. It's a type of the saints of God. It's the old New Testament church, shall we say. It is the family of God that God wanted to use and utilize. And they fought the battles in the natural, physical sense. We fight the same type battles in the spiritual sense. All right, so what we see in these battles, the garrison of the Philistines that Jonathan went against, these are types of battles that you and I face on a day-to-day basis, and the whole host of the enemy is coming against the church. You see that today. You realize that when you look at things, there is this same-sex marriage that's coming up. Do you realize that that is a battle against what God has ordained? It's a battle against the church. What does he say? The church is, it brings out in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, it talks about Christ and his church, the bride of Christ and Christ, it being the man and the woman that are coming together. Now, when you have this change in philosophy and this change in perspective that, the men and women aren't getting along so well, so we might as well let same-sex marriage, it's not the same. And it's not a marriage, and it's not ordained of God. And we have to stand against everything that the church stands for. The enemy is coming against the saints of God. And do you realize that we have to stand our ground on what we believe and what God has convicted us on all down through our life? We've got to stand our ground on that. Because the minute we give up an inch, you know how they say, you give an inch, you'll take a mile. We can't allow that to happen. Lord, help us. So what do? We pray against those things that pray against us. When I pray, P-R-A-Y. We pray against those that P-R-E-Y pray against us. Lord, help us. All right? So, the Lord saw that this great host of the enemy was going to come against Israel. And the Lord said to Gideon that the people that are with they are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hands have saved me. So we see here that the Lord didn't want a lot of people. With Gideon's army, the Lord didn't want them. There was a lot of people here. But read on. Let's get the story.
Now therefore go to,
proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So that was over two-thirds of the people were afraid even as they went to the battle. Do you know one of the things that we have to fight in any kind of a battle is fear? It's not easy. And I don't know that the men that were left, the 10,000 that were left, I don't know that they didn't have some fear to some degree. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Courage is not necessarily the absence of fear. It is knowing, it is facing the fear and going against it. All right? Being willing to do that. I don't know if these men says, you know what, I'm not going to be afraid. Do you know we have to say that sometimes to ourselves? Do you know I knew a person that was, I don't know what was in their mind, but they were very, very sick. And oftentimes what they would have us to sing to them is, I'll not be afraid. I'll not be afraid. What does that say? Return to that. What? Terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. The Lord whom I serve is my, he's my what? Shield and my light. He'll guide and protect all the way. I wonder sometimes as I, this person literally was facing death. And I wonder sometimes if the enemy did not present to their minds that there is this unknown, that you're getting ready to walk into an unknown situation. And you should be afraid because of this. There may be pain, there may be suffering, there may be this or that, whatever it may be. And they oftentimes, we would sing that song, and as they were going, it would be an encouragement to them. And let me tell you, I don't know if that was the situation. I don't know if that was just the song that the Lord put on their mind, but I think I understand. I understand because that is one of the temptations that the enemy is going to present to you, is be afraid and run in the opposite direction. But we can't do that, can we? And so what they said boldly is, no matter what you say, devil, I will not be afraid. I believe that the Lord is going to take care of me. I believe that he's going to see me through all the things that I have to deal with. Do you have some of that that would be appropriate?
Of course. I'll not be afraid.
I'll not be afraid.
I will not be afraid.
Just repeating it.
Where he leadeth,
I safely can go. The Lord, he said, what did he say? He said, yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy shield, they comfort me. The Lord gives us comfort in the midst of the battle. As we go through these dark places in our lives, as we go through places that we don't understand, as we go through, Lord, why do you allow this to happen to me? I don't understand it, but Lord, I won't be afraid if you'll go with me. I can safely go where you lead me. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that I can go where the Lord leads me and I go there safely? Thank the Lord. Read, please. Read. I will trust him always. By night and by day, he'll be with me forever, I know. Now this is a person that has confidence. No matter what the enemy presents to us, and there's another song that comes to my mind. I will no longer doubt thee, O Lord. I will believe. I will simply trust. I will trust you to this. Why are these individuals saying this? Because maybe there's a temptation. Maybe there's something that the enemy is presenting to them and saying to them that you'll never make any. I will trust you, Lord. I will go through this. You will. I will believe. I will simply trust. Lord, help us. It's part of the battle. What did Paul say? Fight the good fight of what? Faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You know we have to do that, and we got to not let it loose. Fight it. Now, what is faith? In order to have faith, it's a battle sometimes just to trust the Lord. Lord, help us. But do you understand what I'm talking about? All right. Let's go back to Gideon. And the Lord said unto Gideon, yes, yes. The people are yet too many. So 2/3 out of, there was how many people? There was at least 32,000 people, right? 32,000 people that were part of this army. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And out of all of that, 22,000 of these people were afraid. They feared. They feared to the point that they didn't, you know, if I have an option, I'm not going into the, I'll go in there with you, but if I have the option of not going into the battle, I'm not going to go. And so he said, I want all those that are afraid. The Lord knew the hearts of all these people. And so he said, I want all of those that are afraid, all of those that fear, I want you to go back home. You don't have to fight this battle. So there was left with 10,000 people. people that were not afraid. They had courage. Maybe if there was some fear, they realized that we can go through it and we can fight this battle because the Lord's given us other situations battles that we've gone through, and the Lord's been faithful to us. And so there was 10,000, and the Lord looked at those 10,000 and he said, there's still still too many. All right, let's read.
People are yet to be. Bring them down into the water.
Now, I want to say something here. This was a test. The Lord knew the hearts of the people, and he knew that these 22,000 people that feared probably would have been the ones that talked the most about the battle after the Lord gave it to them. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. We were over there, and we were fighting them Midianites, and, you know, I did this, and I did that. Vaunted. This is what the Lord said. They were going to brag about what they did. That the glory belongs to the Lord, but they were going to take some of the glory. Yeah, and I did this, and all the things that they would have said about how they routed the enemy, and it was gone all the time. Saints, we can't take God's glory. No matter what it is that you've gone through, no matter what it is that you're going through, do you realize that God is the one that gave you the ability and the power and the strength to do it? Give it to him. Let him have it. It belongs to him anyway. It would be that we are robbing God of something that's rightfully his. And so the Lord said, I don't want those people. I don't want the ones that would vaunt themselves. And then he looked at it and he said, those 10,000, they're still too many. Now, 10,000 people is a lot of people. You know, this 22,000 people is more than the town that I grew up in. I'm babies, women, old people, young people. These are men that could fight. And I grew up in a town that was about 17,000 to 19,000 people. And these are the people the 22,000 is those that feared. All right, so now you have 10,000 that are left. Now let's read. The Lord is saying it's still too many. So you see the Lord is whittling it down. He's saying that was the first test. The first test was a test of fear. I'm not going to let you go to the battle if you're afraid. I don't want you to go to the battle if you're afraid. All right, so now the next test.
Bring them down into the water.
I will try them for thee there. Now, do you understand what he just said? He said, I will try them for thee there. I'm going to test them. I'm going to take them through something, through some type of testing. And sometimes we don't understand why, you know, when I look at this, and the Lord took them through this, I will try them there. He tried them. We don't quite understand, or why did you take them through this particular test? It seems rather irrelevant. It doesn't really seem like it's some got on their hands and knees and lapped like a dog. Some just got on one knee or whatever they did differently. But the Lord was testing them. Do you know the Lord tests us in little simple things that seem like they're completely irrelevant? But the Lord has a purpose in testing us there. Do you know some of us don't pass that test? Lord, help us. Read, please. And I'm not necessarily saying here. I don't want to say necessarily that one did something wrong and another one did something else wrong. The one did something right and one did something wrong. I don't know what was in the Lord's mind. But the Lord had a purpose in testing them like this. I don't know what that purpose is. But in every situation that you and I go through, and it seems like it, have you ever had something that you say, Lord, I don't understand this. It don't quite make sense to me as to why I have to go through this or why that person has to go through this. Well, the Lord's ways are not our ways. I can't explain it. But I believe when we get to heaven, we'll know it. Right now, we see through a glass darkly. And we see in part. We don't completely understand, but I believe that if the Lord would open our eyes, we could see what was in his mind when he orchestrated and ordained this particular test that we're going through. Don't be upset about what the Lord takes you through. Lord, help me as we go through these tests. Help me as I go through the test, we say, to pass the test in the way that you would have me to. That I'd be faithful to you in the midst of it, even when I don't understand it, and even when sometimes, from my perspective, it doesn't make sense. All right, read.
That of whom I say unto thee.
All right, that of whom I say unto thee.
This shall go with thee.
This shall go with thee.
Go with thee.
The same shall go with thee.
And whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee.
This shall not go with thee. The same shall not go.
So he brought down
the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon,
Everyone
that lappeth of the water with his tongue,
as a dog lappeth,
him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that bowed down upon his knee to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. So, now he didn't tell him, he just said, set them aside. He didn't say which one he was going to take. He could have taken, what's the difference here? That would be 10,000 people that have left. And now you're saying 22,000 people that have left. And now we left with 10,000. Now you put one to the side and one to the other. You suppose that had they known what the test was before, that more people would have done this, to be on this side? If Gideon had known which side, the Lord would have done it. Do you suppose that he even made some changes or made some adjustments? I don't know. But that tends to be human nature. And so the Lord doesn't disclose to us what's on his mind until he's ready to disclose it. And we, this is what takes walking by faith. We know as we need to know. And sometimes we don't even need to know. And so we must step, go step by step and ask the Lord, Lord, open up my understanding and tell me which way I need to go. I don't know how to pass this test unless you show me what to do. And so we have two groups, group one and group two, the 300 men. And now what does the Lord say to Gideon? Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. So y'all can go home. You, this group one is 9,000. And you know what? I wonder if those men that were going into the 9,000 were saying, yes, I'm going to be part of this battle. And then the other ones that were so few, I wonder if they said, you know, what do we do different? I'm ready to go and I'm ready to fight, but neither one of them knew, apparently, from what this text looks like it's saying. And so he said, by these 300, so we went from 32,000 to 300. What percentage of that is that? What, like 1%? Something like that, less than that point? 0.01%. Something very, very small. So the Lord is whittling it down. The Lord is doing this. It's not the people. All right, read. So the people took up victuals in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man into his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath them in the valley. All right, so I want to, there's one place in here that it speaks about how many people it was. There's a scripture, oh, 12. Let's read verse 12. Drop down to verse 12. The Midianites and the Amalekites. So it was two nationalities. The Midianites and the Amalekites. And all the children of the east. They lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. Okay, now get a hold of that picture. I'm going to read that again. I want you to hear that because and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitudes. And their camels were without number as the sand of the seaside for multitudes. So there was more than 32,000 of them that 300 men were going against. And so what I believe the Lord wants us to have, the principle is, it doesn't matter how big the enemy is. It doesn't matter how great the number is. It doesn't matter if you can't count them. It doesn't matter. What matters is that God is on your side. If God be for us, who can be against us? So the Lord wanted to whittle this down and call out all of the issues and the problems, and he got down the 300 men, and he said, with this few men, I'm going to save you. midst of the battle that you're facing, whatever it is that we're facing today, it may just be a few that are fighting it, but let me tell you, as long as you have God, God plus one equals a majority. All I need is God on my side. All you need is to know that you're in the center of God's will. And so all you need is, if it's just me and it doesn't seem like I can gather up any other forces and nobody really stands with me, as long as God stands with me, I'll get through this. He is able to save by many or by few. Lord, help us. Help us to get a hold of the principle, because we have been conditioned to believe that the more the merrier. The more folks that are fighting in the battle, the better off it is. Sometimes the Lord just wants there to be two or three, and there is a purity in their spiritual walk with Him, and then there is this close connection and this complete agreement in what is being done, and we do it just like the Lord tells us to do it, and that is what the Lord wants to use and to use to fight this battle. And these folks can't take the glory. You're talking about that there are a multitude, their camels are as the sand of the seashore, and it's 300 of us. How can we fight that and win? There's no way to do it. It's absolutely impossible to do it. So you know what it is, but I say it like this. I use this. Now the scripture says, with men is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. If I'm with God, everything is possible. If God is with me, everything is possible. Saints, don't throw away your confidence. Don't throw away what God has shown you. You stand firm. You stand true. You try to live as pure of a life as you know to live, and the Lord will stand by you, and He'll defend you in the midst of the battles. Not only will He defend you, He'll fight the battle for you. That's what He did. He'll turn the folks against each other that are fighting against you, and they'll destroy themselves. Amen. Lord, help us. As long as we don't get in the flesh and get carnal and decide in our own mind that I'm going to take this into my hand because this is just going on long enough and I'm getting tired of it. Lord, help us. Do you realize when folks are coming against you that that's a battle, that the enemy is influencing those people to come against you? Sometimes we need to do what? Stand still. Just be still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. The Lord is going to take care of you. He's going to come to your rescue. Not just come to your rescue, He's already there. And He's already drawn a line in the sand. He said, they are not going to cross this line. As long as you stay here in my will, in the center of my will, they'll never cross this line. And if they do, they've got to deal with me. The Lord is saying, help us, Lord. We can make it through whatever you're going through, whatever the battle, you can make it through by the help of the Lord. Maybe not a lot of folks with you, not a lot of people that you can confide in. That's good. Can you confide in the Lord? Can you find one other person to confide? Your armor bearer? Somebody that's been with you, everywhere you turn, they're turning, they're defending you. You can find one of those. With just a few, God is able to save. Just a few. I'm not discouraged when we don't see that there's a lot of folks sometimes. And so, you know, I used to get a little discouraged. I'd like to see more, but I know God can work with just a few. Amen. And sometimes it is God's will to work with just a few, because nobody is taking the glory. Lord, help us. It's not we're walking through and saying, see what my hands have built, see what I did. Y'all see all this stuff that I did. We didn't do it. Lord, help us. All right. Let's go a little further here. 2 Kings 6 and 14. Read it for us if you have it.
Therefore, sent he thither forces.
This is the Syrian king. Let's start at the 11th verse.
Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing.
Yes. He called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? So every time the Syrian king would come against Israel, then they would know exactly what place they were in, and and the children of Israel would go to another place. And they, so he thought that there was a spy in his camp. So he said, who is this? Which one of y'all are spying for Israel, all right? Let me read.
One of the servants said,
none, my lord, O king. But Elisha the prophet that is in Israel, he telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest while you land in your bed. All right? He said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. It was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? We've got ourselves into a fix now. There is this multitude of horses and army men that are circling the city, and they're coming for you. Now, what are we going to do? And what did he say?
And he answered,
Fear not. Don't be afraid. Do you remember that? In the Gideon's army, some were afraid. He said, don't be afraid. This man was afraid. He realized that there was a battle, that there could be potential danger here, and he was afraid. And Elijah, the old man, said, don't be afraid. This is a man that had some experience. This is a man that went through some things that the Lord, he knew what God had the capacity and the capability of doing. All right? Don't be afraid.
Fear not.
For they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
And Elijah prayed.
Oh, wait, hold on. Now let's just stop right there. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Who is he talking to? It's just Elijah and his servant. There's just two of them. And this servant is looking from the natural sense like we tend to do. He's looking from the natural sense that we're getting ready to go to a battle. And you're talking about, I can look around the city and there's horses and chariots and soldiers all around here. And it's me and you. And you're saying there's more with us than with them. What do you mean? You know, sometimes we look in the natural sense of things. We don't look in the spiritual sense. But Elisha was looking through the natural. He was looking at things that are unseen. He was looking at things that could not be seen with the natural eye. Things that needed to be seen with the spiritual eye. Saints, that's what we have to do. We got to look at things that have to be seen with the spiritual eye. Or we'll become discouraged with what we see around us. So the Lord had a purpose. What did he say? He prayed. And what did he pray? And he said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. That's what we need to pray sometime. Lord, open my eyes that I can see what's really there. I can see that the spiritual realm is far more real than the physical. Lord, help us. It's true. All right, read.
And the Lord opened
the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. So here we go. We got to draw the picture here. So we've got that this man, these people came up against the men of God. And here's the city, the wall of the city. And they came, and their horses and chariots all around the city, near the mountains up here. And this man is looking out here from the walls of the city, and he's seeing all these people. And he said, there's no way, there's more that are out there, and we're in danger. But when the Lord opened his eyes, what did he see? He saw around here horses and chariots around the people that surrounded them. So they were protected. And I believe that if he opened his eyes a little more, he saw some right here too. Some that were the buffer between the army and Elijah, and some that were on the outside. So if they went forward, they ran into angels. If they went backward, they ran into angels of God. Lord, help us to realize that we have an army of angels fighting for us. Lord, help us. Help us to embrace it. Help us to believe it with all of our heart. That, Lord, I believe the greater the number of that are with us than with them. Whatever battle I'm facing, whatever I'm going through, I believe that. Lord, help us. All right. You believe that?
Yes.
I believe it too. tell you about one other person before we sit down. 1 Samuel 17:46. You already know what I'm going to talk about, don't you? The Lord seems like he puts his people in disadvantaged situations all the time. From the natural standpoint, every one of these people that we talked about today were at a disadvantage from the natural standpoint. But when you looked at it from the spiritual standpoint, oh, they were not at a disadvantage at all. So 17:46.
First Samuel.
This day. This is, who are we talking about? David, Goliath. So Goliath had defied the army of Israel. He defied the church. You know that sometimes there is those, the enemy that defy the people of God. And we get scared of them. Lord, help us. When the Goliath, this big giant, comes, what does Israel do? They fall back. I'm not going to go fight him. Well, somebody needs to go fight him. Somebody needs to knock him down because he's just being defiant and he's just coming in and bragging and all these other kind of things. And somebody needs to go and fight and slay that giant. Lord, help us to do it. All right? And so David determined, the Lord had already tested David, a lion and a bear and all these things that he'd done. And he had a little confidence that the Lord was able to do whatever it is that he could do. And he said, I've done a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine is going to be just like one of them. What did he do? What we tend to do when we see giants, we tend to, there is something in our nature that tends to make them bigger and grander than they really are and make ourselves smaller. There's a place in the Old Testament, I'm not sure where it is, but he said that there we saw the giant, maybe in Joshua. No. I'm not sure where it is. But anyway, there we saw the giants. And then we were to ourselves as grasshoppers. So the giants were huge, and then we shrunk ourselves to in the midst of the giants, how we perceive our ability to be able to fight those giants. But David didn't see it. What did David say? Read. Who's going to do it?
The Lord
is going to deliver you into my hand.
Hold on.
We are workers together with God. So it is not that I'm going to come and get you and snatch you up by the beard and cut your head off. I'm not going to do that. But it's not that the Lord is going to send a lightning bolt and jolt you and knock you down. That's not what's going to happen. He's not going to do it. We're the church. You know what the church is? Part God, part man. And when we fight as a church, we're fighting with God, but God gives us the power to be able to fight the enemy of the church. All right, so here it is. He said, this day, what's going to happen?
The Lord
is going to deliver you into my hands,
and I'm
going to, he's talking to him, telling him what he's going to do before he does it. You know, that takes a lot of confidence. This is what I'm going to do to you. That takes a lot of confidence, doesn't it? All right. I'm going to smite you, and I'm going to cut your head off. That's pretty good. And this little 18-year-old boy, and this man, this giant that's probably nearly as tall as that window. This boy probably, what, 5'10", 6 foot? He's ruddy. When he came up toward Goliath just started laughing. All right, read.
And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day.
Yes. He said, I'm going to do this. He said, all y'all, the carcasses, y'all are going to be dead bodies. He already saw it. He looked through with the eye of faith, and he already saw what God was going
to
do. Isn't that wonderful?
All the wild beasts of the earth.
All the earth may know
that there is a God.
That there is a God in Israel. All right?
And all this assembly shall know.
All this assembly shall know.
Lord
saveth not with sword or spear.
For the battle is the Lord.
For the battle is whose?
The Lord.
But who's fighting it? I'm fighting it. It's the Lord's battle. The battle is the Lord's. We're fighting the battles, but we're fighting the battles with the Lord and with the angels of the Lord. And it's just a few of us, but we win every time.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? All right.
And he
will, oh, is there any doubt? Any doubt? He will give him to our hands. All right, read.
It came to pass
when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to David.
David
hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took a stone, slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. All right, read it. David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Smote the Philistine. No sword in David's hand. Yes. Therefore he ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, took his own sword. The man that was going to, that was so confident of using his sword against David. Do you know the Lord lets us use some of the very, you know, remember Haman? He wanted to destroy the Jews by making a noose, and what ended up happening? He ended up being hung on it. You know, sometimes the folks that try to hang us up, you know, they are slain by their own sword. I'm sure that that little stone just knocked him unconscious. He was just shocked, in shock, fell to his face, and before he had a point to come, I don't know what it, maybe killed him, I don't know, but his head was off, just like David said. And saying, this is what I want us to say. I want to say in closing, the Lord can save a few. It doesn't have to be a lot of people. It doesn't have to be a great number. You don't have to be discouraged because there is not a lot of people that are supporting you. Or there's not a lot that you don't have the kind of support that you need. And some folks get discouraged. You know, sometimes that's just the test of the Lord. The Lord is saying to you, will you trust me? I know that more should support you. I know that more should do this. But I'm with you. And as long as I'm with you, God plus me is a majority. All I need is God. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying that I don't need my brothers and sisters. Of course I do. You know what I'm talking about. But I'm saying that sometimes we can become so discouraged by what we see around us or what we don't see, and it's so few, and how would we ever get this done if it's just a few of us? Let us trust the Lord. He can save by many or by few.